Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. This summer's Manchester Music Festival will celebrate the connections between literature, poetry, song, and music with events at the Southern Vermont Arts Center and the Manchester Community Library July 10th through August 7th. Philip Setzer, violinist and founding member of the world-renowned Emerson Quartet, is the artistic director of the Manchester Music Festival, and he joins us now. Philip, hello. Welcome back to the Roundtable.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
Very happy to have you here. You have an excellent, excellent slate of events scheduled for this year's Manchester Music Festival. How did you put it together? Where did the idea for the theme come from?
I've always been interested in putting music into a different kind of context. You know, with the quartet, we did a couple of pretty major collaborations with theater. The first was The Noise of Time with the Theatre Complicité, Simon McBurney, about Shostakovich. And then we did another one about Shostakovich more recently called Shostakovich and the Black Monk, which is about the Chekhov story of the Black Monk that Shostakovich is planning to make into another opera. And unfortunately, this was too ill and too weak to do it. But he made plans about it, and there are even sketches how he's going to do the scenes. And so we took off from there, and the quartet played the 14th quartet, and all of the music was that of Shostakovich. In the first one, it was the 15th quartet. So I'm just always interested to see things in a slightly different angle. And it occurred to me with doing a series like this that it's a kind of a journey. It can be a learning experience for everyone, as well as something that's really enjoyable. And I just thought, what about pieces that, you know, either have a text or are based on poetry or music that's obviously, most obviously, are songs where the, you know, music is set to a text or to lyrics or to a poem. So it just went from there. And as I started to dig around and do my research, I found some interesting connections that I didn't even, and even after I'd done the programs, I didn't realize that they were there. So I'm very happy that I learned something as well.
The first event is on July 10th. The first main stage concert is taking place at the Southern Vermont Arts Center in Manchester, Vermont, where most of the concerts are taking place. It is Baroque and a Famous Musical Quote. Could you tell us about your big opening night program, please?
Sure. Well, we're starting with the great Brandenburg Fifth Concerto, and that's sort of like an overture. It isn't really based on any words. It's actually one of the few things in the whole series that isn't. But it just, I don't know, it's just such a great opener, and you know, D major and happy and full of energy, and just thought, well, that's kind of the overture. And then there will be four songs sung by Sherazade Pantaki, a wonderful soprano. Also, there's one of the songs is with flute. It's called Sweet Flute. There's two Purcell songs and then two Handel songs. And in between those, one of the young artists, Selina Bitu, is going to play a movement of solo Bach. So the Bach runs through that. And then we end with the two Handel songs and intermission. And then after that, we are playing the Mendelssohn Octet. I'm playing in that with the other seven string players from the Young Artist Program that we have at Manchester Music Festival, which is a very important part of the festival. And interesting, in the Mendelssohn Octet, well, first of all, he writes this piece when he's 16 years old, and it's an absolute monumental work of genius. When I was reading through about it, I was reminded that he had met Goethe when he was very young and read Faust and understood it when he was 16 or 15 years old. Or mm-hmm. No, I think he was like 12, actually, 12 years old. And they remained friends, even though Goethe was, I don't know exactly how many years older, but quite a bit older. And they remained friends through the rest of Goethe's life. So there's that interesting connection. And I've read that the whole concept of the octet was inspired by Goethe's Faust, and especially the scherzo, which is actually a scene from the Faust. The other thing that's interesting is that the last movement starts with a fugue. Again, we were talking about Bach and Handel, who are two of the greatest fugue writers. Purcell wasn't bad either. Mm-hmm. And we're ending with the two Handel songs. In the last movement, or the theme of the last movement, once the opening fugue is finished, is taken from the Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. And then he writes a fantastic double fugue on that theme in the middle of the last movement. So there's a connection, you know, and the inspiration of the music, but also of the words. So that's how that works. And nothing is more exciting than the Mendelssohn Octet to end the program.
You mentioned a moment ago the young artists component mm-hmm. of the festival is very important, and there are young artist concerts, and also the young artists go on tour throughout the region. Tell me right. about that program and why it is so important to the festival.
Well, I think any program anywhere for young people is important. Since I've been at Manchester, this is only my second season as the artistic director, mm-hmm. The young artist program was already in place when I was approached about the possibility of being artistic director. And if it hadn't been in place already, I would have suggested it, because I think it's terribly important for us to not only support and nurture the talent, the young talent that's out there, but also it's really exciting. We had, I think, well over 100 applicants for only 10 positions. There are 4 violinists, 2 violists, 2 cellists, and 2 pianists. So that the level is extremely high. There's an analogy that I mention sometimes, and it seems silly, but it's actually really true and kind of at the heart of where this comes from. I see a lot of festivals where there's a young artist component, where they're getting training, they're getting lessons, that they're having their own concerts, but often they're not on stage playing with the older, more established musicians. And it's a little bit like, I remember when I was a kid, sometimes the children were put in the kitchen, you know, to eat, while the grown-ups all sat around the dining room table. Mm-hmm. My family never did that. We all, you know, we had a big dining room table, and everybody was there. And I don't know, it made such an impression on me as a child that I think my whole life I've just enjoyed that. And doing that. And I mean, Marlborough is a good example of another festival that does that, but on a much bigger scale. And here we have, because there are only 10 people, they know that when they come here that they're all going to get a chance to perform. And it's wonderful. I think the audience really, really enjoys it, because it's at such a high level. I mean, you don't want to be doing it where you think you have the audience thinking, oh, well, I'm buying tickets for this, and then we're hearing a bunch of students. But these are students at the very, very highest level. It's fun for me to sit there and play with them. They sound fantastic.
There is a concert on July 31st entitled Music Inspired by Song and Bird Song. And before that, on the 29th, is a Birding by Ear discovery event at the Manchester Community right. Library. Pulitzer Prize winner Richard Powers has poems that have been set to music by composer Perry Goldstein. Tell us about bringing this piece and this further conversation to the festival, and what is exciting you about that.
It's always interesting to talk to the creators of something. And, you know, unfortunately, we play so much music of older composers that we don't have a chance to sit down and talk to Brahms or talk to Mendelssohn or Bach. I mean, boy, if I could time travel, that's certainly what I would try to do. Mm-hmm. But there are amazing creative geniuses alive today writing, and Perry is a very close friend. He's on the faculty at Stony Brook University with the Emerson Quartet and a number of other people that you'll hear on this actually on the last concert in the Stravinsky. You'll hear a few of my colleagues. You get a different idea about how to think about music, whatever the music is, when you have the experience of working with a composer, especially a great composer, and especially somebody like Perry, who doesn't just know about modern music but knows about everything. And you know, it affects the way I look at playing Mozart or Bach or Brahms or any of the great composers, Beethoven, because once you work with a composer, you feel like you also come closer to the other composers that you can't communicate with now. But it's just, I don't know, it's just something about that experience. It's very exciting. And, you know, this piece, Birding by Ear, is a piece that this same group premiered in Detroit at the Great Lakes Festival, which is Paul Watkins Festival. And I'm actually the director of the Shouse Institute there for young emerging chamber music groups. And it went over so well that people loved it. And we did a talk, either I think it was the day before the concert or maybe it was 2 days, similar to what we're going to do here. Unfortunately, Richard Powers cannot join us this summer, but Perry and the group will be talking about it. We're going to play some or show some films. It's more just to hear these crazy birds and what their bird song is. And some of them are absolutely astounding when you hear them. And the ability to mimic other sounds, not just other bird sounds, but things like a chainsaw or a camera clicking or the film, you know, like on an automatic camera where you hear the film advancing. It's called the lyrebird, which is one of the movements. The more you listen to the bird song, the more astounding it is. There's so many amazing things in nature that we still don't know about or understand.
The finale concert on August 7th is a grand finale, Cabaret Songs and Stravinsky's L'Histoire du Soldat.
It's going to be a great great ending, I think, to the summer. The Stravinsky L'Histoire du Soldat, The Soldier's Tale, is a favorite piece of mine, piece I've done many times. And my wife has done it a couple of times, narrating it. And but we've never done it together. So she's going to be the narrator in that, Linda Setzer. And we have two huge stars joining us. One is David Strathairn, who will play the soldier, and Christine Gerke, the Metropolitan Opera star, who will be singing cabaret songs on the first half with Paul Watkins playing piano. And then Paul's going to conduct the Stravinsky, and Christine will put on her devil costume and play the devil. We have a fantastic group of musicians, and cabaret songs are going to include Bernstein and Kurt Weill and Sondheim and others. So, and we're going to start with Mozart's Ave Verum Corpus with all the young artists, which is one of the most heavenly pieces. So I had this idea that the concert would go from musically from heaven to hell.
with cabaret being firmly on earth, I suppose. Very, very earthly thing, cabaret.
earthly, yes. And it will even make the hall feel a little bit more like a cabaret for that. So it'd be very cool.
The Manchester Music Festival presents events at the Southern Vermont Arts Center and Manchester Community Library, both in Manchester, Vermont, July 10th through August 7th. There are a lot of concerts we did not get to speak about specifically this morning, but you can learn more at mmfvt.org, and that link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org. Philip Setzer is the Artistic Director of the Manchester Music Festival. It's been a treat to speak with you as ever. Thank you so much.
Oh, great to be here, and I hope everyone comes and joins us for the fun.
mmfvt.org for more information. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable.